This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 31st, episode 1137, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's unusual Tuesday morning with Jamie here, and we're glad to be here. We had obviously had the day off yesterday. Jennifer and I were trying to travel through Atlanta to get home, and I know now, as the traffic girl in Atlanta for 10 years, that you were not bored, because every time we go through Atlanta, there's always a problem.
Job security.
Definitely is if you work as traffic in Atlanta. Well, you, when you first started with us 1,137 episodes ago, had as your first interview Chris Cox. Well, Chris Cox won Road to the Horse over the weekend. Your good friend won.
Yeah, he did. That's right, because he's Chris Cox. I didn't actually get to follow any of it. So is he still as good-looking as he used to be?
I don't know. They wear the big cowboy hats, and I never actually saw him in person, so I was only ever seeing him from above. But he deserved to win it. You know, we were kind of rooting for the underdogs, but it wasn't even close.
Really?
He trained those horses, and those horses were better trained in the end than the other two. There was no question about it. But what was really nice is they didn't push their horses. The ones who were a little bit of a slow learners, they didn't push them on the final day. They didn't push them to anything that they weren't ready to do. You know, they sacrificed the win by not pushing the horses. So there was some real horsemanship that you saw there on Sunday, and I was impressed with that they were not pushing those horses. They weren't ready. They just didn't do it.
Was Chris Cox's horse just really smarter than all of them, or was how did he do so different?
His training in the early session, in the first hour and a half session,
very different.
I don't know if Jennifer agrees.
Yeah.
It was very different. It was almost a join-up, a Monty Roberts kind of join-up. But he just seemed to communicate with the horses quicker than the other two did, and he was saddling them sooner. Just everything happened quicker, and the horses responded. And, you know, you got two horses. Each trained two horses, so you had a chance of one of them being half-decent and the other being a clunker, and that happened with a couple of the other trainers. But with his,
His second horse was tougher, but again,
it's challenging.
The very beginnings of what he did was very, very different. He had a very different method for those first 15 minutes than the other two did, and I think that's maybe what made the difference later on. It was interesting, though, because Chris's two horses, from day one to day two to day three, the progression looked logical. It's like, oh, that makes sense that happened next. What was interesting to me about the other two trainers is they got down to day one and you went, oh, compared to Chris's horses, they have a lot of catching up to do. It was amazing to me. They brought the horse out the next day, having not even set eyes on it overnight, and the horse seemed to have learned a bunch overnight, magically. They got on, it's like, wait a minute. He's leaps and bounds ahead of where he was 24 hours ago, and he didn't do anything to him. That was very interesting.
Isn't that amazing? I love it. Jet learned like that, and I used to say that Jet would go back to his stall and hit the books, like open the books and study.
homework. He did his homework.
Get his homework done and then come out and be smarter. I was like, yeah, that's, I love that. John Lyons calls that soak time, where you teach him something, you put him away and allow him to soak it in. I think it's genius. That's really cool, you guys.
Yeah, it was cool. We had a great time there. We got to meet a lot of listeners, Jamie. You would have been so happy. We probably met, 30 to 50 different listeners. And we have never met that many at a show before. They're all coming up and saying how they enjoyed the show and they listened. So you would have been very happy with that. So
gosh. Hi.
Yep. So hello to everybody out there from all over the place, too. There were people there from everywhere.
That's cool. And did our winner of the Road to the Horse tickets, Jody, did you guys see her with a friend?
Yeah, we saw her. She was there with a friend. She was there all 3 days.
Did you see how many pictures she took, Glenn? I think she took 5,000 pictures.
I know. She's posting them all this morning. She took a lot of pictures. It was, and our accommodations at the Clarion were great again. Boy, the quietest rooms ever. I don't know how those rooms are so quiet. They must be thoroughly insulated because we sure have had bad rooms recently, and these were quiet. So we enjoyed that, too. But, yeah, it was good. We had a good trip. It was freaking cold, but it was always good when we go to Lexington.
Spoiled.
I don't know why.
Spoiled.
So it's cool. Fun, and your friend won. Now you have to get him back on the show. First time in 5 years.
Again, the reason I got him on the show was I stalked him forever. And as you know, it pays off. It just takes a couple years. So we'll get the Road to the Horse winner in 2 years.
For our 10th anniversary, we'll have it.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. He did retire. He said he's not going to do it anymore. This was his fourth win. And he did share the money. He gave $20,000 of the earnings to the other competitors. So
he gave money to the other competitors. Why?
Yeah, and just because he said they did a good job and we're all in this together for the horse. So he gave $20,000 of the winnings to the other competitors.
Wait a second. How much do they win?
It was $100,000.
Holy smokes! Well, he's like, here's $20,000. That's like nothing. No, that's awesome. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to do it, but he did it, and I'm sure Tootie Bland. Organizer was happy that that all came out that way. But they're not doing wild cards this year. Mary, our friend Kitzmiller, Mary Kitzmiller does a show once a month with us. She won't get to do it again because they're not doing wild cards this year. I don't know if they're doing something different or what, but no wild cards. It was so. Did you see the pictures of the Z-Donk that Mary got?
Yes, it's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear what she does with it. She wants to train it to do tricks. She's a clicker trainer, Mary. So she's going to clicker train it to do a bunch of stuff. And it's supposed to – we saw a picture of it with the saddle on, but she never saw a video of them actually riding it. So we're not sure if it's been ridden before, but she is so excited about her Z-Donk. And you know how a lot of them are just brown without the stripes? This one had a lot of stripes, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. It's really cool. My neighbor has a Zorse, so I'm familiar with the zebra crosses. And she says hers is broke, too, but I've never seen them ride it. So, you know, good luck. Good luck,
yeah, exactly.
Mary. We're going to read a really bad ad for that horse. We need a really bad ad for your Z-Donk.
Yeah, that's right. I'd like to see the ad where she bought it from, actually. It was in Kentucky somewhere. So
I'm sure it'd be great.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'd be great. Jennifer, what is on today's show? We haven't even gone to you yet. We're just talking away.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday on a Tuesday edition, we've got an overflow of weekend co-host adventures to start the day, as you have noticed. And then mid-show, taking a page from the John Travolta School of Pronunciation, the Shaggy Arabian takes center stage. And Linda Rudolph is going to stop here with the lowdown on and correct me on how to say it. The sliding stop. The roars of the crowd finish out the show as Wacky World of Horse Nation puts Glenn and Jamie to the test. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. I got to give my Daily Winnie to Prince Philip. As you know, one of the co-hosts we have here on the Driving Radio show, David Saunders, used to work with Prince Philip for 20 years. Prince Philip is 90 frickin' 4 years old, and yesterday he was out driving a four-in-hand around Windsor Castle.
So cool.
there's pictures of it all over the internet. And he had just gotten back from Belfast, Northern Ireland, where he gave out a bunch of awards. And he then went out. That wasn't enough. He wasn't tired, so he went out and drove this four in hand around Windsor Castle. Oh, what a guy, huh? I want to know what he's taken.
I'm sure you're listening, and congratulations on your daily winnie. If you could email Glenn and tell us your vitamin regimen, we would appreciate it.
That would be great, because I'm 52 now. I need to start thinking about that. I'm only 40 years away from 94. So,
man, it's creeping up.
Yeah, it is. So, Prince Philip, help me out here. Show a little love this way. And, you know, he was the one with David Saunders that actually started combined driving events. So he was the founder of all of that. So good for him.
Well, only royalty get our daily winnies today because you gave yours to Prince Philip. Mine is going to go to Prince Bishop. Prince Bishop, the horse that won the Dubai World Cup on Saturday. I just had to tell you guys, we're going to play the race here in just a second, so you guys can hear it. But, my gosh, you know you got a lot of money. You know you got a lot of money when you win $6 million in prize money. Of course, the owner of Prince Bishop was Sheikh Hamdan, and it is the son of Godolphin founder Sheikh Mohammed. So he's pretty much a prince, too, Prince of Dubai, really. So Prince Bishop wins on Saturday, and Sheikh Hamdan, I don't know. You guys, I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. I don't know how to say his name. Donated $6 million, his $6 million prize money, to charity. He tweeted about it, apparently. He tweeted later on that, "I am pleased to announce I have donated Dubai World Cup prize of $6 million to the Dubai Autism Center." So, you know what? That's just fantastic. I'd love that. Daily Winnie to Sheikh Hamdan.
I'm still stuck on the fact that they tweet.
You know what I'm stuck on is Chad and I are watching it Saturday morning, and Prince Bishop comes across the finish line and wins the race. And Chad, I was like, oh my gosh, is that very common? And Chad says, absolutely. All of his friends, all guys, all wearing white, all with those white things on their head, you know, and everything, kissed him on the mouth. Every guy walks up to him and kissed him on the mouth. And he's like, that's just how they kind of like shake hands. They just kiss each other on the mouth. And I was a little stuck on that. And Chad said, that's what they do over there. And that's how they shake hands. I thought maybe they were violating.
I don't want to do that with a bunch of strange women, let alone men.
I know, right? It was weird. But anyway.
I really don't want to do that with a whole bunch of anybody, actually, that I can think of.
I'm not giving you a kiss on the mouth, so you can just forget that.
Okay, good. I don't have to worry about that, then.
But let's hear the race, shall we?
Starter at the button. Gates are back, racing in the Dubai World Cup. Candy Boy and Epiphania slow to move. Hoko Taramai came out quickly. African Story fast away. Lee is third. California Chrome going to fourth on the outside of Long River. Two lengths away, Epiphania. One to side glance. Candy Boy is second last, and Prince Bishop, being hustled in the early part, had dropped out to the rear as the cup field makes the turn to the back with 1,500 metres left to go. And Japan's Hoko Taramai leads by 3/4 of a length. African Story second, Long River 3/4 of a length away third, ahead to California Chrome, he's four deep into the back past the 1,300 metres mark. Lee on the fence, 3/4 of a length to Epiphania, one to side glance on the inside of Candy Boy, and 2.5 lengths to Prince Bishop, 400 metres in 25.6. 800 metres in 49.4, and down the back of the track, Hoko Taramai by 3/4 of a length to African Story. California Chrome's a length away. He's third, but he's travelled wide from the word go. Lee is fourth. Long River under pressure. Prince Bishop's making ground. He's running on from the back. Then Candy Boy, Epiphania, and side glance had dropped out to the rear. Hoko Taramai, a half length in front of African Story. California Chrome has loomed up three deep. Lee behind them. Prince Bishop is deeper out as they turn the corner. Hoko Teramai in front of California Chrome and Prince Bishop on the outside. Lee's into the clear. He'll have to give them two lengths. Prince Bishop in front with 250 metres left to go. Prince Bishop's got away from California Chrome. Then Hoko Teramai and Lee. But it's the Prince. Prince Bishop and William Buick. Prince Bishop is clear and Prince Bishop wins the 20th Dubai World Cup.
Wow. Wow. It was a really good race. You know, California Chrome was on the outside pretty much the whole race. And he seemed to be running really easy. I mean, he was kind of keeping up with the pace. It seemed like they had a really good position. And there was just never that huge kick at the end. Granted, he came in second. So he ran his heart out and Prince Bishop just had this otherworldly gear in him in the very last coming down the home stretch. So I get really upset when they stick a microphone in the California Chrome's owner's face. Steve Coburn, they put the mic
in
front of his
again?
Face.
Did
oh
they let him talk again?
Oh my God.
What'd he say?
They love listening to him talk because he's such an idiot. Like, you know what? You know what he should have said? Wow, we've had a great experience in Dubai. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, he probably won a couple million bucks, right? I mean, he took home
second place.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad.
Second place.
That paid expenses.
We are so excited. We had a great time. You know what he says? The prince needs to bring his horse over to America. Do you have $10 million in prize money you want to give out, okay? No, I don't think you do. And basically says, you know, one good turn deserves another. He started really aggressive and then started kind of backtracking a little bit. But basically, he needs to bring his horse over to America and run them over here. One good turn deserves another. And I was just like, shut up. I was mad at him all day Saturday. But now I'm even madder, and let me tell you why.
He's a sore loser. I told you he was a sore loser all along.
You're exactly right. And he came in second place. His horse did really well. He should be, oh, my gosh, we had a great experience here. But, no, I should write his speeches. Stop. Don't put the mic in front of his face. Put it in mine. We appreciate it. We thank you very much for being great hosts, blah, blah, blah. No.
We appreciate our $2 million, which apparently he's not donating to charity. So
he didn't tweet about charity. No, he did not. So I got to also point out now, guess what they've decided to do to California Chrome?
Are they going to England?
They're going to send him, to England to race in the Royal Ascot. Okay, fantastic race. The trainer, Art Sherman, is like, basically, this is the stupidest thing they've ever done.
The trainer
said
that?
He's not going with him. Yeah. Art Sherman is not going to England. He's going to show up on race day, but they're sending him to another trainer in England. This is his quote. Perry, this is, you know, Art Sherman, the trainer, has been just fantastic. He is quiet. He's an old school horseman. He says this is majority owner Perry Martin thinks the horse will do good because he's won on grass. But it was a different grass. They don't realize the horses that are going to be involved. They also go clockwise, so he's got to learn to go the opposite way in everything. It's going to be rough on him, I think.
Isn't that like their Kentucky Derby?
It's like their Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, okay.
It's amazing. I mean, it's their classic race, which I'm sure he qualifies for, but he's going to be running backwards. They don't train them backwards. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's going to be embarrassing, and I'm really upset that they're doing this to California Chrome. Give him a break. Take him home. My God, he's tired. That's the other thing he said is the owner was like, well, you know, it's a lot of bringing him all the way over here, and it's, you know, he just didn't handle it really well.
Might as well win as much money as we can while we're here.
Exactly. Oh, it was embarrassing. It was just I was embarrassed to be an American after that, but move on.
Speaking about being an American, you know, when you talk about baseball, my eyes glaze over and I'm not really a big baseball fan. However, there was one day in the past when I actually played baseball as a little kid, and I had a team that everybody was mad at me for having. I always liked the Dodgers. I've been a Dodgers fan since I can ever remember. I've kind of stayed a Dodgers fan, although I don't follow baseball much anymore. But I was in the Dodgers in the Tommy Lasorda days, and Tommy Lasorda was probably, the best-known manager in baseball at the time and still today.
He's the first one ever, too. He's the first guy that ever did, a celebrity endorsement. Remember he did the Weight Watchers?
Yeah. Yes, and he's been in baseball longer. He had been in baseball longer than any other person with the same team. He'd been with the Brooklyn Dodgers and then came over when they moved to L.A., that way, way back in the 50s. He's got to be 100 years old by now. But then you posted a picture, and I thought it was a cutout. I thought you had signed a cutout, and you posted a picture of you and Baby Luke and Tommy Lasorda together. I thought, well, she found a cutout at the stadium and did that. But you actually saw Tommy Lasorda. Tell me all about it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so cool.
First time I've ever asked you to tell us about baseball, ever.
First, I'm sitting down right now because I'm swooning the fact that you actually knew who that was in the picture, and you actually want me to talk about it. So I'm a little shocked right now. Let me gather myself. Chad Squadron, spring training is in Florida and here in Arizona, and this is the Cactus League of spring training, and a lot of the West Coast teams do their spring training here, and the Dodgers is one of them, and the Dodgers have been doing something really cool. They're letting military shag flies during practice. So
what
Chad Squadron...
Non-baseball people.
Okay, well, when the guys get to hit, and they have batting practice in the big field, they let some guys stand in the outfield and catch their balls, and throw them back in.
Gotcha.
So somebody's
gotcha.
Out there, somebody's got to get the balls that get hit into the outfield, and that's what Chad was doing.
They asked military squadrons and stuff to do that? Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool, and so we got to go in to the kind of the back area of where it was, and we went in, and I was telling Chad, I'm like, God, this is lame. I'm like, this would be so much cooler if it was the Braves or the Giants, because we are in, there's players walking around, I don't know who anybody is, okay? I'm like, this would be amazing if I knew who any of these people were, but I don't, so I'm just, it's the Dodgers, Chad hates the Dodgers, he had to wear a Dodgers shirt, he was all mad about it, Oh, yeah, it was terrible. So, excuse me, Tommy, we're standing there and Chad is out in the outfield shagging flies, and I see Tommy Lasorda come and somebody's driving him around on a golf cart, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Tommy freaking Lasorda. And I'm standing outside, I'm all by myself because the crowd is watching, but they're in another place. I'm kind of in the, I don't know, all access. I'm just standing there with my kid. And Tommy Lasorda tells his driver, he's got to be close to 90, tells the driver to stop. He looks at me and he goes, is it okay if I give your son a baseball? Yes, sir.
Yes.
That is absolutely okay. I'm getting my phone ready. And so I took, and I just said, do you mind if I grab a picture? And I kind of got the picture in lieu of the autograph because he had a pen, but his driver was clearly irritated. He was like, oh, Tommy Lasorda is just so nice to everybody, He just stopped at this random person, gives me a baseball. I take the selfie with him. It was just like baseball royalty. We're going to have that picture forever. Lukey's going to have that picture forever with Tommy Lasorda. And so I came home. I was so excited. I had a bunch of students that afternoon. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got my picture with Tommy Lasorda. And everybody was like, who?
Like who?
I'm like, I hate teenagers. God. But it was really cool. I'm sitting there and on the grass. And who walks by me but Don Mattingly and Mark McGwire. Of course, everybody should know who those people are. Don Mattingly is one of the best baseball players ever. And he's the coach of the Dodgers. And Mark McGwire is the one who got in all that trouble for steroids and has the most home runs of anybody in the whole world. And he was walking by because he's now the Dodgers hitting coach, apparently. So they're walking by. And I'm sitting there in this Braves jersey. I look like a total a-hole because I'm at the Dodgers behind the scenes and I'm walking around in a Braves jersey. And all these players are running by, and they're like, that's a terrible jersey. I can't believe you wore that here. And I, of course, I have no idea who these people are. And this one guy was like, you just got schooled by Jimmy Rollins. I'm like, okay, I know who that is. So it was kind of embarrassing, but it was awesome. And I met Tommy Lasorda, and it was really, he's so sweet. I am a Lasorda fan for life, I'll tell you now.
And what? He is the first celebrity that you didn't have to stalk. He came to you.
He came to me. Chad says that having a baby at a spring training game is like taking a puppy to a park to meet girls. Everybody just comes to the kid. It's so
that's
true.
Funny.
It's so true. But it was really, really exciting,
you
really fun.
So excited. He's 87, by the way, and he's still out there. That's spring training. Wow.
Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, I mean, these guys, they live and die that. You know, I can't imagine that he'll ever wear... I would imagine that his pajamas are Dodgers pajamas.
Dodgers.
You know, when he goes...
Well, you know, he was with them. I just read on... I was just on Wikipedia, and he was with them for over 50 years as an active either player or coach or something, you know?
Wow.
There's only one person that has been with a team longer. I forget who it was, but... you know what it was? He edged out Dodger broadcaster Vince Scully... by a single season, so he's the longest at any one team, and he edged out his own announcer, who had been there for 1,000 years. So, and he's of course National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1997.
Cool.
Good for you! That's terrific. That's really
it was
cool.
Awesome. It was fun. And
very
you
cool.
guys had a good weekend. You drove safely. You made it back.
Yeah.
And, now, you put on here, on our show notes, things we learned this weekend. Did you guys have a learning experience this weekend?
Yes, we did. We did, and I hate to say, but it didn't involve horses. We were listening to some podcasts on the way up and back, because it was like a 12-hour drive, and we learned two things this weekend that I never knew, that Jennifer never knew, but you probably know, and are going to go, well, how did you not know this? But we learned two very important things this weekend. One is, did you know you can tell which side of the car your gas cap is on from inside your car without looking at the mirror?
Yeah, there's a little arrow.
I didn't know that. I did not know that the little gas tank thing on your dashboard has an arrow going one direction or another, and that's where your gas cap is. I never knew that. I used to rent cars, and I'd have to get out and look and see which side it was on. I didn't know that.
Oh, bless your little heart. How old are you? You said 52?
52.
You should
know
that by now.
I didn't know that. Jennifer didn't know it either. And apparently, if it doesn't have an arrow, it's which side the little pumpy thing is on. So if the little pumpy thing's on the right, the thing's on the right. On the left, it's on the left. I did not know that. It was a revelation. So that was one thing. The second thing I learned is that, you know, those tubes of plastic wrap and aluminum foil, you know, that you get?
Yeah.
Plastic wrap and aluminum foil, the little boxes, the little square boxes. I did not know that they had little pushy things in on the ends to hold the roll in the box.
What podcast were you listening to? Podcast for Dummies?
Jennifer didn't know it either. And we didn't believe it. We got home and the first thing we did was pull out the boxes and went, oh, yeah, look at that.
You know, I've never actually been able to actually get it to stay. So let me know if you do.
Oh, I got Robin chiped in and said, oh, they didn't have those arrows back in the day. I do drive a modern car, Robin. I don't drive one from the 1970s. Back in the day. Who invited her to the party?
Score, Robin. Score.
Hey, we want to get a Thor update, too, see what's going on with Thor, but we have to first talk about our sponsor, and Jennifer is going to get the first guest on here. But our sponsor is Omega Alpha Equine. You know, Jamie, we learned something over the weekend. Another thing we learned over
Another
the weekend.
Another thing?
Yes, this actually applies to horses, and it's probably something you didn't know. And that is that Dan James, we saw Dan James, he's still in his wheelchair, by the way. He's doing great, though. He's all Dan James-ish. He's very positive and upbeat. We had him on the show on Sunday.
For those who don't know, he had a broken leg, and he's having surgery and all sorts of stuff. I was like, why is he in a wheelchair when Glenn told me this earlier? But what did you learn from him?
He had a baby horse flip over on him when he was training on the ground, and the horse came down on his leg and he broke his leg in a couple of ways. He's having another surgery today. He hopes to be back in 4 or 5 weeks on a horse. He said, but, you know, I don't always listen to the doctors. So I said, well, yeah, no horse person does. But anyway, what I learned was that Dan James is sponsored and uses Omega Alpha products. He's an Omega Alpha user for his show horses and the horses he brings to all his clinics and stuff. He has a quote here. He said, "I wouldn't think about having my horses in any other supplement. When horse health and performance matter, Omega Alpha supplements have you covered." So if you're looking for an all-natural supplement that is endorsed by one of the finest horsemen in the world, by Dan James of Double Dan Horsemanship, then Omega Alpha is the one. He actually uses Biotic 8, Anti-Flam, Healthy Horse, and a couple of the others. So it was really neat. I got to talk to him a little bit about that over the weekend and chatted with him about those supplements. He's going to come on the show here in the next, well, he's got to recover from the surgery today, but he's going to come on the show in the next couple of weeks and talk to us about what he does use and about his use of Omega Alpha supplements and how the horses benefit from it. So he is going to stop back one of these days soon. So if you want to use the same products that Dan James does, go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You'll find them over there, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. So we'll get Dan on. You can chat with him then.
He's so cute. Is he still cute in a wheelchair?
Yes, he actually is, and he's so bubbly, and he's so positive. And, you know, he said that, you know, and he's very funny. I mean, he is very funny. Now, there were two people over the weekend that had lines. I mean, lines. Now, this place was packed, Jamie, 8,200 people. It's the first time they've sold out the All-Tech Indoor since the WEG for any event. It's never sold out except for this event. So, and it was, so I mean, it was packed. And there were two lines for autographs. One, Dan James, obviously. And then there was lines for, let me think, who was the other line for all weekend? I'll think of it. I'll think about who the other line was for all weekend. But Dan definitely had a line. And it's amazing. They were all about 17 to 40-year-old women were all lined up to see Dan James and get pictures with
him.
Heck
yeah. All single.
Yeah, that's
right. All single ladies. All single.
Yeah. So he was pretty popular. Pretty popular this weekend. We are, Jennifer is getting our first guest on the line here, and we are going to get a Thor update coming up. Also, we have Leslie's joining us on a Tuesday. She switched days. We didn't realize on the way up that she's right off the highway. We are only a couple miles from her on the way up. So we could have stopped and seen her, but we didn't realize we were that close. So would have been fun to stop by and see Leslie. Looks like
I'd
Jennifer's
have told her not
up.
To. You'll get out, you won't get off the couch.
That's right. We would have slept there. Well, let's do a Thor update while we're waiting for our guests. Apparently Jennifer's working out some issues with the phone line. So what went on with Thor over the weekend? Anything exciting?
I'm going to post pictures on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now because Thor officially went on his very first trail ride. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Why is my freaking Mustang, formerly Wild Horse, captured, run in through chutes, captured by helicopters? He lives underneath an Air Force base with helicopters and planes going by. He is by far the sanest horse I have ever owned. Why is that the case? I don't understand. Chad, like, why is this horse so much better than all your... I don't know. There's no reason that this horse should be as sane and awesome as he is. He is so cool. He is so nice. He is so sweet. He has not spooked. I rode him down the road. I rode him through neighbors' dogs barking. You know, we call it the funnel of death. I took him through the funnel of death with peacocks and chickens and people everywhere, and he was totally fine. He is awesome. So I'm going to post some pictures of his first trail ride. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't understand how he's so good. He's so good. I love him so much. I'm madly in love with him.
See, if he was if he would have been in the contest over the weekend, he would have been one of Chris Cox's horses. He would have been one of those.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah.
Edward would have been everybody else's.
Okay? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly what
awesome.
It is. Well, you know, after all this time of having wackos, it's good to have one you can count on, right? And one
gosh.
Down the line is going to be your trail horse. So
it's so
that's
nice.
Great.
It is so nice.
I'm telling you, I gave you 3 years. Now it's looking possible for Rolex in 3 years with your Mustang.
Yes. We will be spectators. We'll be those horses that are doing crowd control at Rolex.
Oh, yeah. You could be a crowd control horse. He'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Just stand
That's
there.
The only thing we're doing at Rolex, hon. I love you, though. I love you.
I trust you. I just believe in you, Jamie. Apparently more
yeah,
than you do.
I believe.
Well, we want to see pictures of you doing the trail ride on Thor. Everybody was interested, and I know we talked to a couple people over the weekend that are listeners that love Thor updates, so it's good to hear he's doing so well.
Thank God.
Well, we're going to do a breed highlight right now. We haven't done one of those in a little while. We have Linda coming on with us from Wineglass Farm. I love that, Wineglass Farm. And she's going to talk to us about a breed of Arabian horse. The Arabians have a lot of, I don't know if they're called sub-breeds or what they're called. We'll find out. And I can't say this name, and I would butcher it, so I'm going to let Linda tell us. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. Start with how we say the name of this Arabian.
That is always the number one question. It is a Shagya. Shagya.
Shagya. Just like it's Shagya. Spelled, actually. Yeah, Shagya.
Everybody makes it so hard, but it's just Shagya.
Okay, great. You know, we were talking about the Dubai World Cup earlier, and we couldn't pronounce any of the names of any of the people that owned the horses either. So
so it all goes together.
Yes, that's right. Now, we had one of our listeners write to us who is a member of your organization and I guess owns some of these, and it was so nice that you're able to come on. I didn't realize that there were is it sub-breeds? What's it called? When, you know, we got the Arabian as the overall, but there's so many little factions in that.
Well, the Shagya, it has an Arabian influence. It has a base from the purebred Arabian, but it is actually its own breed, and it was recognized by the World Arabian Horse Association in 1978. The breed is much older than that. It was originated in the 1700s in Hungary when, if you paid attention to history class in high school, there was the Austro-Hungarian Empire that had most of Eastern Europe, you know, under control. The Shagya was an instrumental military horse for them. Now, if they would have taught me that in high school, I probably would have paid attention to history class a lot better if we came in with the horse element. But once I found the horses, then I went back to the history. But so they were started. The name actually comes from the original horse named Shagya. He was a purebred Arabian who originated in Syria. He was brought to Hungary and bred to domestic mares. Most of them of the light horse breeding type, and they bred for a phenotype. A phenotype is they're breeding for a specific look, type, and form. I think
I assume they were cavalry horses, so they were breeding for speed and agility, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. This is what made the difference between coming home from the battle and not coming home. So they had in mind a horse that they wanted to look, and I don't know how much history you want to go back to, but the Hungarian state stud system had a fantastic breeding program that each state stud, each location, of course, was regulated by the government, but they bred a specific type. That's your phenotype. The Shagya was for the nobility and for the officers and for the nobility. I think I said that. And then there was another state stud called the Kishberry, which used some thoroughbred. And those were for the cavalry men themselves to ride. And then there was also Meso Hedges, where they bred a really heavy horse to pull the cannons and the supply wagons and everything. And between these were the three main ones, they would blend to keep the phenotype that they wanted. If the Meso Hedges got too heavy, they brought in some Kishberry to lighten them up. If the Kishberry were getting too heavy, they brought in some Shagya to lighten it up, or vice versa. But nothing ever came back to the Shagya except purebred Arabian. They kept that type.
So the Hungarians really were, before their time, as far as keeping track of the breed and making sure they got exactly what they wanted, because we're talking the 1700s, 1800s here.
We're talking the early 1700s, yes. The Hungarians, and there is a saying that all Hungarians are horsemen. And if you go back and look at their history, they really did have a sophisticated system of developing these horses, and they would go through actually testing them, not only in, of course, if you went to war, I guess that's your primary test, but they also tested them. They had a race from Vienna to Budapest. That's a famous race that they wrote about, which is by car, I think 3 hours, so that's a long race. But they always looked at these and they culled what was not their type. Whereas in the United States, we're more familiar with, we have a purebred, we breed it to a purebred, we get a purebred.
Right.
And this is more of a selection of breeding.
Now, when did they arrive in the United States? When did they start coming here?
Well, they kind of dribbled into the United States. Of course, after all of this, throughout history, that area became communist, and a lot of the horses couldn't come out. They couldn't come out of that area. So that's one reason why we don't hear about them a lot, because they were secluded for so long. But actually, when Patton brought his famous horses, the famous story of Patton bringing the horses to the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
He brought Hungarian horses for the remount, not for the public, but for the remount, and in that were some Shaggyas.
Huh.
And then when the U.S. Cavalry disbanded, those horses went public. Some of the officers that knew of the breeding and were interested were able to, pick up those individuals and keep track of them. Actually, a lot of Hungarians who left Hungary after or during the war, escaped or after, brought Hungarian horses with them. In that were a lot of Shaggyas. There's a famous gentleman, Dr. Leslie Kozeli, who left Hungary. He's associated with the Libazon horses quite a bit, but he brought in a lovely driving team of four Shaggy mares. And those four Shaggy mares, since there wasn't a Shaggy registry here, the American Arabian Horse Association picked them up and registered those as Arabian in kind, is what they called those. So, and then there were some countesses who left Hungary, brought horses with them. They had Shaggyas with them, and they, kept track of those horses also. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what do they, now let's fast forward to today, what are they used for today? What kind of riding are they best for?
They are your all-purpose horse. They're still used even in Germany and stuff too, in warm blood breeds. There's the famous R line that goes back to a Shaggy, and they have a lot of suspension, versatility, and all of the descriptions you'll say has a willing attitude and is devoted to his rider. That is a key point in the breeding. But to describe them, they're a little more rectangular in frame than a purebred Arabian, because they want that back a little longer so your gaits are smoother. Comfort of the rider is also in the description you will see of the Shaggy. They will have definitely more bone, more joint size, you won't see just a straight leg coming down. You will see a nice big flat knee. You will see a nice hock or a nice fetlock. They'll be Arabian in their face, but actually the real dished face that you see in a lot of the purebreds today is not desired. They want straight, but not a Roman nose, of course, but just a little more angular profile.
So no more bowls. I mean, some of them look like they had a bowl. You could eat your cereal out of them at some point.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, that is not desired in the Shagia breed.
Let's talk a little bit about this, too, before we run out of time. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about is breed inspections. And there's a lot of breeds that do inspections. Tell us what an inspection is. What's the goal?
The goal is to maintain your phenotype, to maintain the type of horse that you are inspecting. The other thing is we get back to that comfort for the rider and devotion to the rider. So what we are going to, like, we have an upcoming inspection this spring. We will take the horse, of course, through an in-hand on the triangle basic confirmation, and then we'll take him through what they call an interior test. They will lead him through obstacles, a variety of things, maybe around an umbrella, maybe through a course that has a lot of streamers down or something, just some basic things. And they will watch to see if he is attentive to his handler. They can be attentive and a little leery of what they're walking by, but yet they're focused on their handler. They'll be judged on that. We will do free jumping, where we will actually set up a jump chute, and they will judge them on their ability to curve their back naturally as they go over the jumps, and the horse's own timing, because he's going by himself. He does not have a rider, so it's his timing, his ability. If he comes into a jump too short, his ability to athletically get over a jump. Another test we will have is literally rideability, where we have the owner ride the horse, and then we have two very qualified test riders, and they will judge the horse for his willingness, not so much in a, like you would think of in a dressage, like is he an upper-level horse or something, but his willingness to accept a new rider. Will he try if he picks up the wrong lead? Can you bring him back down and he will try again without, you know, losing his mind and stuff? So those are all things that will go on.
So I do all of those things. What happens at the end? What does that get me? Okay,
is it a pass or a fail, or is it graded?
How's it done?
You will get a score, and that score is public. And then your horse, if it's a mare or stallion, is can be breeding stock. If they don't pass this, they're not approved for breeding. They cannot be used for breeding stock. It's a great tool for breeders because they actually get to come in and compare and see where they need to maybe change their breeding program. And it's a great program for buyers because they can come in and actually get a third opinion on a horse without the emotion of the owner, in it, and get a nice, clear vision of what that horse is capable of or what that line. There's different, of course, your different sire lines, dam lines. Is there a line you like better than the other, how they act and how they perform? So it gives you a really good overall for the breed, and it helps the organization also to know what we need to be doing to keep our horses on track. We want them absolutely, they were always a purpose-bred horse, and we want to maintain that.
So during these inspections, you go through all that. What percentage of horses actually pass and what percentage fail?
That's a good question. They may fail elements of it, and then they can represent at the next inspection.
Okay.
But I would say I don't know the percentage. I really don't.
Everybody passes usually, or this is so tough that no.
No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible because we have owners who are just, this is their one horse. And they are capable of bringing this horse in and presenting him, okay? You don't have to have a top trainer to come to the Performance Shaggy Arabian inspections. You don't have to have a top trainer because, again, the horse has to show his willingness, his devotion, he will at least try for you.
Cool.
So Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you can, it's not impossible, you can represent. Now, I was noticing that you are from Wine Glass Farm. Wine Glass
yes.
Farm. So red or white? Red or white, what do you go for?
I'm more of a
dry
red, a little
sweet.
On the dry.
Yeah, okay.
Red
uh-huh.
and dry.
Yeah.
This is the heavy, hard-hitting stuff
funny.
We need to know, Glenn. I can't believe
yes,
you haven't even
right.
asked
that
yet.
Yes, that's right. I know. I did notice
you
Wine
know,
Glass
and
Farm.
I never realized when I picked the name of that, people bring me wine all the time. I highly recommend picking that name for a farm.
Yes. Oh,
you need
done.
To change
my
the name, Jamie.
Beer and Wine
that's right.
Farm. Beer and Wine Farm. That's awesome.
Bourbon Ranch. You need to change it to Bourbon Ranch, Jamie.
Wouldn't
that's
that be wonderful?
To. Yeah, there you go. Go for the expensive stuff. Well, this has been great. Where can people learn more about the Shagia Arabian?
Okay, we have a website. It's the Performance Shagia, that's Shagya registry.org, and we've got a lot of information on that. And we have our Performance Shagia Facebook page that we post, current things to all the time. And anybody's welcome to attend the inspections and send us a question. We're just glad to answer and tell everybody about this great breed.
Jennifer now says that we are going to be known as Chocolate Layer Cake Ranch for anybody interested.
Ooh.
Yes.
I love it.
Apparently that works. If you want to find and send some wine over to Linda like she doesn't have enough, you can find it at wineglassfarm.com is where you can find Linda, and there's all kinds of information on there about her horses as well. Thank you, Linda, for joining us. It's been fascinating learning about the Shagia Arabian.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, take care. I like that Chocolate Layer Cake Farm. I like that idea.
Love it. Hold on, I got to get the dogs, they're barking.
All right, we're going to go to a commercial anyway. We're going to hear from Equestrian Collections and then play our song. We'll be back with Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation.
Well, Coach Jen here, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections, and Debbie has the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What have you got, Debbie?
Well, this week I am featuring a new product that we have. It's the Trailer Eyes T86 Helmet Camera. If you've ever been out in a trail ride and you wanted to take pictures and didn't want to have to dig your phone out while you're holding your reins in your teeth, or if you wanted to have a video done while you're jumping, this is the camera for you. And it's only $189.95, so it's less than $200 for this camera. It also has a little watch that comes with it that you can switch it from picture to video and take the pictures from your arm so you don't have to lift your hand up to take the pictures. It does attach to your helmet. It comes with a helmet attachment, thing that goes around your helmet so that you just put it right on. It's not, I've got to tell you, I got one, and it's it does take some figuring out, just like any of these little cameras do, you can download the user manual from our website when you get the camera. It doesn't come with the user manual. The thing is like 186 pages, but
yeah.
You can download that from our website. It's once you get it set up, it's easy to use. And it does take some setting up, and I wanted to be sure that your customers knew that, but it really works well, and it's really fun, and it's very light. It's tiny. It's T90. So it's just really a nice thing to have. I use mine on trail rides, and once you get used to, putting your head a certain way, it takes really good pictures. It does have a Wi-Fi deal where you can, if you have your phone, you can see what the camera is seeing, so you can see what the pictures are, so you can practice a little bit with it so you know exactly how you should put your head to take the pictures. It's really cool, and it's less than $200, so it's really half the price of some of the other cameras on the market that do the same thing.
Oh, I
love it.
So
take a look at it, and I think it's a really great addition to our website.
Cool. With a wrist remote control, you'll be just like Dick Tracy. Thanks a lot, Debbie.
payday. Hey, hey, it's a heyday. Hey, hey, yeah, I'm making my own payday.
And that is Jared Rogerson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. And it's pretty much that time, Glenn. Are you prepared?
Well, he's prepared.
Horses, the ultimate frontier.
Of course. On the ball.
These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And with that, we welcome Leslie Wiley. Hello, Leslie.
Good morning.
How are you? How are things in Tennessee?
Beautiful, sunny, warm. My allergies are going crazy. Everything is
me
in bloom.
Too.
I'll take it though.
You got to pay for the awesome state weather.
Just about killed me. Oh.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, you're doing it again to us, and I feel like I didn't look ahead. But I feel like you're constantly trying to embarrass us, is what I'm really kind of getting at. And by that, you have a quiz for Glenn and I?
Yeah. Except you're going to love this one because there are no right answers.
Oh
yay!
So we can't fail because the last one was kind of embarrassing.
And you can actually even have a look at this one if you want. So have you ever played Would You Rather? I love this as a card game. Like, would you rather this or would you rather this? And
it's a drinking game.
Mostly my would you rathers involved females of the celebrity persuasion. Yes. Mostly, but I don't know about that.
I'm sure Jen doesn't mind that. No.
No.
Yeah, Glenn, would you rather Carrie Underwood or Jennifer Hebert?
Ooh.
I don't want to cause a divorce. Don't answer that. You took too long anyway.
You lose.
Glenn's gone. I don't know where he went. Gee, he got cut off.
Unlike this quiz that we're about to take, that one does have a right answer.
Oh, my God. Jennifer, you hung up on Glenn. That's awesome. Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's a producer and a wife.
I don't know what happened to him. He just got cut off. Wow.
He did. He took too long. You're right. All right,
yep.
Jennifer and I are going to take this quiz. Glenn is in the doghouse right now. So, Leslie, give it to Jennifer and I.
I'm back. I don't know what happened, but I got cut off right at the certain moment. I don't know what happened.
What a coincidence. I guess we'll never know.
Yes.
The answer to your question.
It's a coincidence that the producer has the button that cuts me off.
God, she's smart. All right. Sorry, Leslie.
All right.
We digress.
Okay. And so all the credit for this goes to Kristen Kovach. She's the brains behind this one. Okay. So here we go. Would you rather have only a heated indoor arena or only a world-class outdoor arena?
Where do I live?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Somewhere you could need heat. If I lived somewhere I needed heat, that'd be tough to argue with. But you know, heat can make you dry. I'm going to go with world class outdoor arena.
Make you dry. You know what? There's a lot of people in New England that are wishing they had a heated indoor arena this winter.
Right?
Huh?
That's true.
I'm getting messages from listeners that are saying indoor.
Indoor. Heated indoor after this year. So that's why I asked where you live. I think that one really is geographical, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's totally geographical. Okay, moving right along. Would you rather run out of vet wrap or toilet paper?
I'm going to go with I'd rather run out of vet wrap, simply because I hope I don't need vet wrap as much as I need toilet paper.
Yeah, and you know,
vet wrap as toilet paper probably isn't very comfortable. So,
But on the flip side of that, you can't use toilet paper as vet wrap to wrap your life. That's a tough one.
But I can use something else for vet wrap. I'm not willing to use something else for toilet paper.
Good point.
Good point.
We're all in the toilet paper camp here at Horses in the Morning.
Okay, moving right along. Would you rather have a horse that never loses its shoes but is terrible for the farrier, or a horse that constantly loses its shoes but is excellent for the farrier?
Who wants this one? I'm going to go with beat the crap out of my farrier but keep your shoes on. I don't have to deal with it.
I'm as a horse husband, I'm thinking, I don't care about the farrier. It's his job. But it's costing me money if he has to come out more often. So
That's true.
Yeah, Jamie on that one. We have horses in the morning are all for toilet paper and beating the crap out of farriers.
You're going to get some hate mail. okay, would you rather lose a boot in the mud or trip and fall in the manure pile?
Jennifer, you want to take this one?
Yeah.
Having done both, frankly, and everybody's going to go, ew, I would rather trip and fall in the manure pile.
Okay. Yep. Good to know. Which one's next? Because I don't know what I would say. I don't know.
I don't have mud. You can't lose your boot anyway.
Good point.
Don't overthink it. Okay, would you rather, gotta go with your gut, get free lessons from a local trainer for life or get one free lesson from George Morris?
Hey, by the way, can we get back to the other one? Before we get to that one, were we the only ones that used to take our working students and throw them in the manure pile as their initiation? Were we the only ones that did that?
Yeah, we had Hayden.
Wow.
And then if they're ones we really wanted to indoctrinate, we thought we were going to have a little bit of trouble with, we threw them in the manure pile, then we took them out of the manure pile, and we throw them in the sand heap, you know, the bedding, which came in the big tractor-trailer trucks loaded with sand. So they were covered in manure and sand. It was our version of them being tarred and feathered.
Wow.
Were we the only ones to do that to our working students? I'm sure we're not the only ones. There must be more. Okay, you can continue.
Surely. Surprised they stick around. okay. This is a good one. Lessons.
Free lessons for life from a local trainer or one free lesson from George Morris. I do not ever want to ride with George Morris because he is so mean, and I would probably cry because I wouldn't have the right belt on, nor would I have the right kind of breeches, or my shirt would be baggy or something that would, I would fail a George Morris test. I would absolutely be that girl. Well played, Glenn. Well played. I would like, give me a local trainer.
Yeah.
What would you do, Leslie? What would you do?
Yeah, I kind of agree, because then you'd have to carry that shame with you for the rest of your life, and you would have no chance to redeem yourself ever because no more lessons.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So we are pro-toilet paper. We are anti-George Morris is what we're saying here on this stuff. And apparently anti-farrier, too. Sorry, George.
Oh, here's a good one. Would you rather smell thrush or a dirty sheath if you were stuck smelling one thing for an entire day?
Oh, that's really gross.
That is really gross. Who thought of this? Who wrote this article again? You got sick sense of humor.
Six sick minds at Horse Nation.
Oh, God.
What would you do, Glenn? Sheath or thrush?
Can I use a clothespin? Am I allowed to use a clothespin? they both smell so bad. But, you know, just I have to go with thrush because The dirty sheath is a dirty sheath. So I have to go with Thrush.
I don't think I'm going with Thrush. I like the next one. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday about No Stirrup November. I'm challenging all my students this year to go to No Stirrup November. And this one is great. Would you rather, and I'm going to ask Leslie, would you rather go fox hunting without stirrups or jump a hunter round without a bridle?
I think I've done a little bit of both. When I was a foolhardy teenager, my horse at the time and I would do exhibitions at the local hunter shows, and we would go and do bareback bridleless jumping hunter rounds.
Nice.
So I'm going to go with that.
Nice. I like it. What else you got?
You guys missed the one that I wanted to hear your answer to.
Oh.
And that's eat your horse's grain or eat a sandwich that you dropped on the barn aisle.
Oh, gee, that's easy.
like the whole bucket of grain?
Yeah, it doesn't qualify how much. Going to say a sandwich worth of grain.
Who hasn't tasted their horse's grain? I definitely have. I like to taste supplements too. I just want to know. I want to know what it tastes like. Make sure it's, you know, not terrible.
Okay, this is
if you
so
got
bizarre.
A good sweet feed, you could eat a good sweet feed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Maybe a dry bran, you know, that doesn't taste like nothing, that'd be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
A good sweet feed you could do. But let me change the question. How many seconds, does the 10-second rule apply to the sandwich that you dropped in the barn aisle?
No. It's like a 1-second rule.
No.
You got to scoop that stuff up fast.
Does it make me a bad mother that Lukey will drop his food, my son will drop his food, and I'll pick it up, blow on it, and hand it back to him? Does that make me a bad mother?
That's just building up immunity. Antibodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Okay, good. Just making sure.
It makes you an excellent mother is what that does.
Aw, thanks.
Well, that was a good one. That was good. Fall off in front of everyone at the barn or have an epic save with no one around to witness it?
Man.
I've had both. I've had epic saves and you save it and you like look around and nobody's there. Oh, and I've had embarrassing falls in front of everybody. It's really 50-50.
One of the first shows I went to with Jennifer was a little local show, and it was a jumping show, and she was there. It was one of the first ones after we met.
Oh, there went Glenn again. She's gone.
I have control of the bug. So she's riding around this little jumper course, probably 2 foot, and she takes this is a tight arena. She takes the turn to come into this jump, and the horse doesn't jump at all and completely wipes it out, breaks the standard. I broke the jump.
It was a coop jump, and she broke the coop.
She broke the coop. It was just broken. And just never jumped, just ran right through it. So that was one of my first experiences seeing my wife at a show. What's that?
Thanks. You know, people who don't know me and only listen to this show, Glenn, think I'm a complete idiot. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's all for good. It's all good for the show. That's right.
I was going to say, what's new?
Before I can answer the other one.
Don't do it. You're already sleeping on the couch for a while, so you might as well just let it go.
All right. Let's go on there, Leslie, to the next one before I get in trouble.
Okay. Well, I had another couple stories that I wanted to talk about, but I just, like, literally, right before I came on the show, published this post. 7 times idiot horse owners turned to Google when they should have called the vet. This is just astounding. Like, I had to post it right away. So you know how you can, like, start typing something into a Google search and, like, it kind of makes these suggestions on, like, what the rest of your, you know, search query may be based on other people have typed in, you know, searched for before. So I just thought, as an experiment, I would start typing in, you know, some little horse queries and see what autocomplete suggested, because other people have actually Googled it. and the results were horrifying.
Oh, my God.
There is a time for Googling, and there is a time for, like, your internet cannot help you. You're like, you need to call the vet right now. Like, what are you doing? Put down your smartphone and call the vet. You're using the wrong function on your smartphone. Let's see. So I put in my horse won't. The first thing that came up was my horse won't get up.
Call the vet.
Call the vet.
Yeah.
So we had another top, my horse can't get up. That was the first one that came up. My horse's blank, tail fell off. Somebody,
what?
I'm not kidding you. Like somebody apparently, like this was a, like the fifth suggestion, Google suggestion. My horse's tail fell off. Like what?
Oh,
really?
Call that.
That's call probably
and also,
yeah.
Let's see. My
or
horse
actually,
is...
if the tail fell off, you should have called the vet a while ago.
A while
yeah,
ago, yeah,
probably, yeah. You probably get
yeah.
your horse more often, yeah. That's probably...
yeah. On a related note, my horse's hoof blanked. Auto suggests my horse's hoof fell off.
Oh my God! Oh my
yeah.
gosh!
Yeah.
Call the vet way before you even Googled that. Seriously, your horse has been lame for a very long time. That's horrifying.
Let's see. Here's this may be my favorite. My horse seems blank. People have apparently actually searched before for my horse seems drunk.
Oh my gosh.
Is your husband hanging out in the barn a lot in the evening? Maybe that is something.
I mean, oh my goodness. And then another one of my favorites, sort of on an unrelated note, but it was just amazing that apparently, you know, a significant number of people have Googled this, was what I put in, my horse can't blank. Sit down. After my horse can't get up, my horse can't poop, my horse can't urinate, my horse can't jump. Number 5, can my horse tell I'm pregnant? What?
Is there a reason your horse has to know you're pregnant? That's funny.
I've never heard. Have you guys ever heard that before? Like, is that
no.
even the wives' tale? What?
Is that a thing? I don't know. Did you actually continue the search and see what it said?
Oh, I should. That's a brilliant idea.
I like this one.
Mama.
Oh, hi, bud. Yeah. I like the, where'd it go? Beside the horse's hoof fell off, my horse's tail fell off, my horse's eye is red. Is it changed to colors? You need to call the vet. But this one is my favorite. You Googled my horse's mouth. And one of the things that came up is my horse has no mouth. Has no mouth.
Okay. I followed up on the, does my horse know I'm pregnant? Okay, so this goes to a, like, kind of message board for, a British, it's called Baby Center, Community Baby Center. Here's the post. I know that it likely sounds weird, but I wondered, after reading someone's comments on another board, if their horse followed them more closely, sniffed at her belly, etc., when she was pregnant. Have you had any experience of this?
Jamie, did you have any experience? I think Jamie's horses were still trying to kill her when she was pregnant.
Yeah, there was no love. It's like, oh, you're pregnant? Good. How long can you stay on? It was like, actually, I think Jet got, I had to quit riding him when I was way sooner than I was hoping because he got spookier. I mean, he's not even a spooky horse, but he started spooking when I was pregnant. So maybe he did know I was pregnant and he was not happy about it.
Who knows? Man, that's internet. Wow.
That is amazing. I'm glad you brought us that. And now I'm going to start paying attention because, yeah, stuff comes up all the time when I type in. And I'm always like, did someone actually type that? Like when you type it, you know, my foot. And they're like, my foot fell off.
That's funny.
Awesome. Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. HorseNation.com is where you can find all of these hard-hitting news coverage that she brings us every week. HorseNation.com. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday, by the way.
Oh, sure thing. Thanks for having me, as always.
Thanks,
I love it. Thanks.
Well, I got to tell you, we've been promising for a couple of weeks, and Jennifer made sure I did this today. We've been promising for a couple of weeks to get a review of this.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
The SquarePants movie. So,
oh
what happened?
Before we do the review, this is funny.
Yeah.
Road to the Horse is also part rock concert. And frequently during breaks when they were resetting the arena, they would play very popular rock songs. And he would turn down the volume, and then the audience would sing along certain parts of the lyrics. And to varying degrees, the audience would sing along. But when he played the SpongeBob SquarePants song, all 8,000 people sang along. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. I'm telling you what. My child does not talk much. He doesn't say many things. He's a man of few words as of now. He babbles a lot, but he doesn't talk. He is 22 months. He's a little behind in the whole language thing. But the one thing that he can say, spababa, spababa, spababa.
Spababa?
You turn on the TV. He goes, spababa, spababa, spababa. That's SpongeBob. And if he sees a SpongeBob thing, spababa, spababa, that's SpongeBob. So he says, mama, dada, he says the dog's name, and he says SpongeBob. Those are like his only words. I can't get him to say the word up when he wants me to pick him up, but he says SpongeBob. It's insane.
That's funny. That's funny.
Anyway.
So I guess he liked the movie, right?
He did. You know, he doesn't sit still very much, so he would get up and run around, and that's why you go to a 10 o'clock showing of a kid's movie. People expect you to have small children that are ill-behaved. So he ran around a little bit, but anytime SpongeBob comes on, oh, my gosh, he loves it. And he's just obsessed right now. So let me give you the overall kind of idea of the movie. Antonio Banderas is a bad pirate, and he steals the secret formula of the Krabby Patty, which is like a hamburger that they serve at where SpongeBob works. And for those who know the whole SpongeBob thing, he stole the Krabby Patty formula. I'm going to talk like people know what I'm talking about. I don't want to overexplain this. Antonio Banderas steals the Krabby Patty formula, goes up because he wants to have the most popular food truck in the world. And he needs the SpongeBob's Krabby Patty formula to make the best food truck. So he goes, and his name is Burger Beard, and he goes and he starts making it so the characters have to come. Exactly. It's as funny as it sounds, because it's really funny for adults, too. So Burger Beard has his food truck, and the characters come out of the water to try to... The reason they can come out of the water, I'm getting ahead of myself, is because they invented a time machine, and they can go around, and in their time travels, they met a mystical, magical dolphin who lived out of the water and controlled the universe. And so the dolphin gave them the powers to go out of the water, and they go and try to steal the Krabby Patty formula back, but they can't steal the Krabby Patty formula back because Burger Beard has it. So they rewrite themselves in the movie as superheroes, and so now they're all superheroes, and SpongeBob can blow magical bubbles and trap people in them. And so are you loving this? I mean, this is what I had to sit through as a mother.
If you take any single sentence from the last 3 minutes of this show out of context, it's either illegal, immoral, or
it is absolutely ridiculous. It's what it is. And not even any sentence. The whole sentence is ridiculous. So I just want you guys to know that I win Mother of the Year. for taking my child to the SpongeBob movie. And to be honest with you, I kind of liked it. It was actually pretty good. It was ridiculous.
Well, you know what? It got an 80% on the tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like
really?
Considered in their top tier of movies on Rotten Tomatoes. And that's for movie critics. Like right for newspapers.
Really funny. I mean, I of all the kids shows to watch, trust me, this SpongeBob is way better than Yo Gabba Gabba or any crap like that. So of all of them, I can deal with SpongeBob. I actually kind of like it. And the movie was actually pretty funny. So for those of you who have children that are thinking, I'm not taking my kid to that, do it. It's really fun. It was super entertaining. And watching and kids, they laugh hysterically. There's a bunch of kids in the theater, and oh my gosh, something happens, like SpongeBob stubs his toe, and the kids roar with laughter. They think he's hilarious. So there you go. That's your review. Burger Beard steals the Krabby Patty formula, goes to the surface, and they all have to go save the day. Oh,
there
because
you go.
The reason that they have to go, I missed one important part, was the little town that SpongeBob lives in. When the Krabby Patty formula was stolen, they couldn't make any Krabby Patty formulas anymore, Krabby Patties, and it went post-apocalyptic. So you're looking at the apocalypse of this small little town under the sea. It was post-apocalyptic. People were killing. It was insane. So it's really, really funny. And kids don't get that, but I got it, and I was, like, laughing out and to myself, not out loud.
All right, now we've done it. We have officially done the review of the SpongeBob movie. And out of 6 flakes, Jamie gives it...
I'm going strong 6, my friend. It was awesome.
Wow.
My kid liked it, flakes. Whatever.
Or a full...
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants! I'm so yellow and porous as he. But I can do the whole song, my friend. I can do the whole song. I'm sad to say.
Apparently everybody at Road to the Horse could, too. They were singing. That's very funny. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We had a lot of news and stuff we didn't cover today, but we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, which is 9 a.m. Eastern on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate everybody who joined us over the weekend at Road to the Horse and all our fans that were there. Thank you so much for stopping by to say hello. Jamie will be back tomorrow, so we'll be here. I don't know what Jennifer has planned. It's always a surprise for us, too. But we would be thrilled if you would join us. Jamie posted a whole bunch of pictures. We got pictures of, let's see here, we got pictures of you riding on the trail ride. Wow, he does look like a trooper, huh?
He's awesome. Thor is the best.
Johnny's got a big head.
Yeah. You know what we're going to do is we're going to DNA test him. I'm dying to DNA test him and find out what he is. So we're going to get a guest on to talk about that. We'll tell you more about that coming up.
There somewhere. Some draft horse got loose and joined the herd at some point. Yeah. Oh, I like your Thor shirt, too. I'm just checking out your pictures here.
Thank you. Well, everybody, you can see these on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I have a child standing behind me pulling my shirt who smells like poop. So I get to go.
All right. We let you go. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you again tomorrow morning.
All right. Bye, Booter and Gelt.